90.7 FM, on K282BH Philomath at 104.3 FM, and K220HR in Hood River at 91.9 FM. I'm Brian Pritchett.
And I'm Aaron J. Bernard. Here's what's coming up on KBOO tomorrow morning. At 8 a.m., it's Voices from the Edge Talk Radio with host Joanne Hardesty. She and her guest, Drummond Cond, will discuss the audit of the Portland Police Division that was released last week by the city auditor. Press Watch is at 9 with Teresa Mitchell. The news you're not supposed to know. At 10, it's Air Cascadia. Headlines, interviews, and commentary with Chris Andre. At 10:15, stay tuned for Flashpoints, investigative news radio with host Dennis Bernstein. At 11, it's Between the Covers. On tomorrow's show, we welcome Pacific Northwest writer Megan Cruz. Her debut novel, Call Me Home, delineates how domestic violence can draw together a nuclear family with an abusive father. They keep their secrets and wait, for what feels like a lifetime, for their one chance to be free. At 11:30, it's Words and Pictures. For millions of people across class, cultural, and generational divides, comics have proven to be an effective means for both instruction and empowerment. So when Portland's Community Alliance of Tenants needed a tool for teaching renters about their legal rights, they turned to cartoonist Becky Hawkins. Tune in tomorrow morning to find out more. Thank you, KBOO members, for your financial support. We could not do this without you. Please become a member today. If you're not one already, go to kboo.fm and click where it says Donate Today. Thank you. And stay tuned this evening for a live in-studio performance of the Flaming Groovies.
For KBOO News from the Boo with
Mike
and
Monica Beamer.
Good afternoon, everybody. It is that time again, around 5:45 on a Wednesday, when we do News from the Boo, all of the news that you need to know about what's going on here at the station and the greater KBOO listening community. We've got with us station co-manager Mike Crenshaw, and we are also joined tonight by Paul Bowden, founder and executive director of the Western Regional Advocacy Project, also known as RAP, on the Homeless Bill of Rights campaign and the Right to Rest legislation.
Yes, KBOO is an endorser of the Homeless Bill of Rights, which is being, KBOO is an endorser of the Homeless Bill of Rights, which is being coordinated by Western Regional Advocacy Project, but led in the state, and it's taking place. KBOO station co-manager Monica Beamer is one of the organizers in Oregon, along with many great folks and groups, such as Right to Survive, Street Roots, Ancestors of the Road. So welcome to KBOO, Paul. Why don't you tell us what RAP is?
We're a bunch of social justice organizations throughout the West Coast that we come out of the homeless community. A lot of our brothers and sisters come from the street, but we're also SRO residents, public housing residents. We're just people, you know, we're artists, we're music,
right?
You know, and we believe that in order to address the kind of issues that we're seeing in our schools, in our access to healthcare, in our wages, in our welfare systems, whatever the issue is, in our military industrial complex, prison, like, we need to coalesce around a social justice agenda.
Okay.
We need to be talking about human beings and fighting about human rights and doing a social justice campaign. And we saw this criminalization of day laborers, of people hanging out in front of their SRO for blocking a sidewalk or standing, loitering, they call it, sitting down, sleeping, eating. And we said, nah, man, this is Jim Crow. This is Antioch.
Right.
We ain't going, you know, people look back on them days and think that's history. That ain't history. That's today.
Yeah.
And we need to fight that racism. We need to fight that classism. And we need to overturn the neoliberal economic policies that are driving our country today.
What are some victories that you guys have had? Because I know when I look at the people who drive the policies that are reminiscent of apartheid and Jim Crow, it can feel very overwhelming.
Victory is in how you define it. When we started out just a little bit over 10 years ago, I've been doing this for 30-something years now in San Francisco and nationally. Victory is, a year and a half ago, we had one bill in one state. We got our butts kicked. We spent all of 2 minutes whining about it and started developing the next phase of the campaign. Mm-hmm. And the victory is now there's 145 organizations. We wrote a bill. It's now been introduced and is having hearings held in three states.
Okay.
To me, that's a major victory. It's how you overcome adversity that you know, we ain't gonna probably win this year. I don't care. We ain't going away, and we're not going back, and we're going to keep pushing this and keep pushing this. You know, if people think we overturned Antioch laws, no, we didn't, because the local governments still have the authority to pass the laws again. Now they call it sidewalk management or Safer Cities Initiative in Skid Row or broken windows policing. You know, they changed the name, but it's the same crap.
Mm-hmm.
And what we're doing is saying we're going to overturn local government's ability to pass these laws in the first place, because they've proven time and time and time again that these laws are racist, they're discriminatory, and they're classist. And so we're saying no more.
One of the and by all means, anytime you guys want to jump in, one of the things that I've helped support locally in terms of direct action is the pitch a tent that happens every year during the Rose Festival, in which people are saying, hey, if these people can come from outside the city and come from the neighborhoods that they live in and camp out all night on the street, on the sidewalk, so that they can watch this parade, then we got a right to be here too. Mm-hmm. We just so happen to be houseless. And what I'm curious about is, that's something that happens in Portland every year. Are there other similar actions that are happening in other cities in the region and around the country that you're aware of? And is that part of some of this mass movement?
Yeah,
stuff?
I mean, you know, they camp out in front of freaking the Mac store when a new phone comes out or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think what Pitch a Tent does so well and what others do is we're having celebrations. We're having parties. The days of some dude standing up there telling you why you should be caring about an issue when you're already at the action in support of the issue, mm-hmm. like, that's just getting old.
Okay.
Like, we need to embrace our diversity. We need to use our posters and our artwork, our music, our street theater. Mm-hmm. You know, we do a lot of street theater, mm-hmm. you know, and it's kind of like, one is it's kid friendly. And it doesn't matter where you were born, you can come and you know, because we ain't doing the busting the windows of the cop shops and stuff. You know, our friends do. I'm not, but that's not how we do our stuff.
Okay.
And I'm not going to say it's wrong or right. I'm just saying it's not how we do it. We want it to be so people, regardless of where they were born, feel safe being there and being a part of the event.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, we will do some building takeovers when we need to make that kind of a statement. All of these different ways of plugging in and different ways of connecting to, so long as the messaging behind it is the social justice messaging and the human rights messaging,
right.
All of that stuff is good stuff. They're not competing with each other's stuff. They're all good stuff. And that's the way that we're trying to build this movement.
Mm-hmm. I can dig it.
And Paul, for listeners who might not be familiar with the Homeless Bill of Rights, what's it all about?
It really is. We did 1,400 street outreaches to brothers and sisters in the street throughout the West Coast. And we then looked at what was it that you were being criminalized for in your community. And across the board, it was sleeping, sitting, and standing still. Man. Those were the top, I'm talking 81 percentile stuff. 81% on sleeping, 78% on sitting. You know, that's just ass. I mean, you know, we're building a social justice movement to defend our right to sit. Like, that's really telling you we're in bad shape, man. Yeah. This is anti-Okie sundown town stuff. And the third one was loitering, standing still. And so we felt that it was incumbent upon us to learn from the history and then try to protect the next group that's going to be targeted. Japanese American Exclusion Act, Bacerero Treaty, ugly laws, sundown towns. I mean, there's a long history in this country of every 20, 30 years, we seem to go through some kind of social upheaval. And local government's response to that is get rid of them. Get them out of here. And you know that if you're, especially if you're houseless, but even if you're not, everybody's going to stand still at some point. Everybody's going to sit down at some point. Everybody's going to eat at some point. Everybody's going to sleep at some point. So the fact that local governments are empowered to make those illegal activities, they know they're going to bust you. Because as soon as you stop walking, the cops got every legal right in the books to come up and jack you up. You know, Eric Gardner learned that the hard way. Other brothers have learned that the hard way. They have the legal right, as soon as you stop walking, to jack you up. And if you're homeless, if you're big, black, mentally ill, and homeless, you're going to jail. At some point in time, you are going to go to jail. If you're what they call illegal, you're going to be running every time you see the cops coming. Because just the act of standing there trying to get some work is now illegal. And the fact that the big sweep now is to outlaw food sharing, that's spreading across the country. And these things, the sitting on the sidewalk stuff, started in Seattle, and then all of a sudden it was in Santa Cruz, and then it was in San Francisco, and it's spreading across the country. The business improvement districts have a lot to do with that. They have people that they pay big money to write these laws, lawyers that go around the country writing laws to get people out of business improvement district areas like Old Town here. And those are the biggest proponent of opposition to our bills, is we don't want those people here. So they know those laws will never be enforced against them. And it's the us versus them mentality here. No cop is going to, the people that write these laws are going to sit and sleep and eat. The cops are going to sit, sleep and eat. The sheriff that locks you up in jail is going to sit, sleep and eat. So how can we say that that is an illegal offense, a criminal activity? So we feel like this, we got to call the question. And the fact that we're able to get the bills introduced in three states and have these hearings, tomorrow is the one in Oregon at the state capitol at 3 o'clock, 2 o'clock rally, 3 o'clock hearing. April 8th, a hearing is scheduled in the Colorado state legislature. And we haven't gotten the scheduled hearing yet, but we have the bill introduced in California. And we want to call the question as loudly as we can and have these debates in all three states. And if they kick our butts again, we'll come back in five states next year. Because we have our campaign, we have our bill, and we're building the power to make this happen eventually.
This kind of criminalization of normal activity, is Oregon and the other Western states, are they typical? Or are they kind of at the vanguard of what's being done to criminalize stuff like this nationwide?
Absolutely typical. Straight up. Across the board, typical. You know, it's the redlining wasn't just in one state, you know. So, I mean, they are typical. You know, what is so beautiful and where I'm so fortunate in the gig that I get to get up every day and do is you have the LA Kens and the San Francisco Coalition and Right to Survive and Sisters of the Road and Shock, and you have some kick butt organizers here. And in that process of being accountable through the street outreach, and through documenting what's said at your community forums, is we're a leaderless movement. Poor people don't need another freaking leader. You know, they need somebody to take out the garbage and take minutes and do the support system. And so we take that to heart. We do the research, we create the artwork, we do, you know, we do the stuff that's why you get a freaking paycheck. You don't get to do the fun stuff for a paycheck. That's what you do on your own time. But you have to staff a process of bringing people's voices directly to the leadership of an organization. And what we have here, and what I'm so proud to say I work for, and LA Ken, what time it is, they'll tell me.
The sharing food.
There's, it's a crime.
It's
don't
a crime.
It.
Can you tell us more
don't
about
do
that?
It. Don't do it.
It seems really counterintuitive. Common sense tells me it's selectively enforced, of course. They're going to target certain people. But how and when did it become illegal to share food?
Well, and we're actually talking with these guys, these students, about, you know, we did 1,400 street outreaches and came up with the comments and the percentiles and stuff. We were seriously thinking about doing 1,400 outreaches to people that are housed about these same laws and asking them if they've ever gotten a ticket for standing or for sitting or for sleeping. And I think that you will find very clearly. And when we did the report, and UC Berkeley Law School did a report, clearly discriminatory. Sleeping, eating is just the most recent trend. They say it creates garbage. That's their answer.
I'm sorry.
No, that's their answer, man.
All right, we are just about out of time. Okay. So, Paul, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks, Mike.
Thank you, Aaron. Thank you, Brian.
Thank
Again,
you.
Where is that rally going to be?
2 o'clock at the State Capitol Building, 3 o'clock hearing.
Right on. Thank you, Paul.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Cool.
I think it's insane.